There's senators in the House.
Amen.
We can start this meeting. And I think what we'll do is, if it's all right, Senator, is finish adapting the stuff where we left off, except for Article 2. And then do some amendments, and then we'll call a recess.
Okay.
Okay.
Joan, could you continue?
So, you don't want to do the licensing article?
We can do everything with the citizens. Isn't there another piece of this?
Permanent bar to set aside?
Nope.
No?
Nope. Let's skip all that.
Skip all that.
Where did we stop last time?
We left off in the data privacy article. It's on page 20.
Okay, let's continue.
Of the staff side by side. We adopted House Section 1. The next section, there's grammatical differences. The staff recommends the Senate.
I would like to move that we move the recommendation from the staff for Article 3.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Adopted.
And, Madam Chair, just to clarify, that was Senate Article 1, Section 2. And the next one, the next section is identical. It's House Section 3, Senate Article 1, Section 68.
Okay, I'd like to move that we adopt Section 3.
We're adopting the Section 3. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Adopted.
The next article is the adoption article. Section 1 related to adoption records is identical.
I move that we adopt Section 1.
We're adopting Section 1 and Article 2. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Adopted.
The next section is Section 2. There's drafting differences. The Senate just creates a paragraph B. It's just a drafting difference that doesn't have a substantive difference, as far as I know.
Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Senate.
Sorry, I'm sure. Can I clarify? We moved the Senate language on that, right?
No. Representative Duffy moved the House language. However, staff will work on the clarifying of the paragraph. Is that what you did?
Correct. So the staff will take care of the drafting differences, but it's not substantive, correct?
Right. The next two sections, House Section 3 and Senate Section 4, House Section 3 and House Section 4 are both identical to Senate language in Senate File 3193.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt Section 4 and Section 3 and Section 4.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted.
The next House Section 5, relates to access to original birth records adopted by parents. There's drafting differences, and I think there's a cross-reference in the Senate language that's necessary related to an affidavit. So the staff would recommend the Senate language.
Do we have any? Is the department?
Page 22.
So
if we don't have any problem with the department, I move that we adopt Section 5, and that's the Senate version, to address the cross-references.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Hold on.
Madam Chair, we're just going to adopt the Senate language.
Right.
Okay. So we don't need to talk about cross-references.
The Senate language is the cross-reference.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Senator Moore.
We got the motion to adopt the Senate language. All those in favor by signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted.
Section 6 also has drafting differences. Strikes language that requires the Commission of Health to notify the Commission of Human Services when an adopting person requests disclosure of information on birth record. Madam Chair, Kathy Pontius and Lynn Aves are the two staff people who worked on the adoption.
Ms. White, can we put this, hold this to the side, because we're going to recess anyway, and we can double check with the office.
Okay. We'll put the rest of the adoption on hold. Or just that
we
one.
We can do the identical.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Section 8, rights of terminated parents, that's identical.
I move that we adopt Section 8.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted.
The repealer is identical, and the effective date is identical.
So section, I move section 10 and 11.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted.
Madam Chair?
Yes,
I see that in section 9, it says House only, however, the Senate adds a new paragraph to Senate section 5, which allows the same. Didn't we just adopt Senate 5?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is a section... I'm remembering. In the Section 9, the agency fees, apparently they're already able to do that, so the House did not codify it, which was appropriate. Okay. So staff would recommend we adopt Section 9, House Section 9, and I will delete that extra paragraph in Section 5 that doesn't need to be codified.
So I move Section 9, the House version.
All those in favor signify by saying
aye. Aye.
Opposed? Adopted.
Madam Chair, does that mean that we now can move Section 5 as well, or is that what you were referring to?
No, we actually moved that. We put left on the table is Section 6 and Section 7.
Okay.
Since we met last.
Yes.
Can we have staff just go through and identify for us just so that everyone is clear which sections have already been adopted?
Senator Moore, everything in the Article 1 has been adopted.
Okay.
Nothing in Article 2. And everything has been adopted in what we just did except for Section 6 and 7.
Chair, I have a question about Article 2. I thought that we moved all the pieces that are identical in Article 2 as well, didn't we?
No.
So we haven't moved Article 2 at all?
No, Senator Torres Ray, we're still under negotiation.
Okay.
Any other questions? This is an amendment that the department actually wanted to do. They caught at the last minute. The sunset date for the American Indian Child Welfare Advisory Council is coming this summer, and so it needs to be extended to 2012.
2011.
Does it need to be 12? We need to see what all we need, and this should be 12.
It should be 12.
Okay. So I move.
Yeah, go ahead.
Amendment, what is the number of
Eight.
This? A5 amendment to extend the expiration date of the Child Welfare Advisory Council to 2012, June 30th of 2012.
The A5 amendment has been moved. Any questions?
So, Madam Chair, we have before us the A5 amendment with the date on line 1.18 of 211. Do you wish to amend the amendment to reflect 2012?
Yes. Senator Torres Gray moves to incorporate the difference and insert 2012.
That is correct. So move. I thought we'd just do it amended.
We need to move the amendment first. Can we vote on the A5 amendment? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That now. You can move that, incorporate that amendment.
So I move that we amend Amendment A5 to read June 30th, 2012.
Any questions or concerns? Senator Torres Gray. I just lost my thought. I started thinking about the set aside. Forgive me. Thank you. Moves the oil amendment as been actually incorporated, so we don't have to vote on that.
Okay. We're amending the amendment.
We're moving the to consider the A5 to be voted on. All those in favor, as amended. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed. A5 is adopted. Members, we are moving, I will be honest, and I have actually not had a chance to talk to Senator Berglund myself. However, I am the author of the House File 3376, which is the Department of Human Services NPIP and Child Care Bill. However, the Senate has moved that companion bill and deleted the MFIP work participation and it left only the child care and is trying to amend the MFIP on, which bill is that? House file, Senate file, 3168. However, we're moving, hopefully, with the Senate approval today, the MFIP stuff because I never agreed to that. Any questions about what we're doing here? This is the amendment that you have, the A7. Senator Moore.
Madam Chair, what is the status of the MFIP provisions that are in this A7 amendment in the House?
It's passed and has been waiting on the Senate floor for a week.
The entire
MFIP and the child care provision.
And Madam Chair, maybe Senator Torres also could help us. So it's just waiting, it's at the desk in the Senate, just waiting to be taken up.
Senator Moore, from my understanding, the last I heard, and Senator Torres Gray may have more understanding, was going to refuse and only do the child care in the conference committee. And so we're at a point of, I admit, of no return, maybe, that we won't be doing any MFIP language if we don't come up with some type of negotiation.
The conference committee report?
Sorry, I missed that. I'm serious.
Come back.
Good recess.
Let us recess for a moment to the call of the chair.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
I remember.
We don't know when we will be caught out again.
If she wants to. Mm-hmm. I got it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We'll do it. We'll do that and finish it.
Let's do the A8. You guys gotta go back or we go. Senator.
We have to go back?
Yes.
For
a revote?
Oh,
That was that phone call.
Representative Walker, we think it
hits the tape. There we go. For those that weren't in the room, Ms. White has said we have found resolution on the adoption. He said so we can go back to that article.
On page 23 of the side-by-side, Madam Chair, House Section 6 and 7, there's drafting differences, and staff recommends the Senate language.
I move that we adopt the Senate version for Sections 6 and 7.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's adopted.
Of course.
I know, you need more water.
That article is done.
That article is done. Did we come, are they still just, when you guys are back, was there a resolution with Representative Tinkleton?
She had to make some drafting changes and she was going to make them.
Okay.
What about the set aside, Julie?
Yes, probably. Representative Abel, would you like the floor that she brought it up?
Hold on to that.
This is the only article that's left besides Representative Tinkleton's amendment.
Oops, and Lesh and I are speaking with one voice here. We are really sad we can't do more.
Did you say that?
I concur.
Yes, as I spin his head around with my little bit. Which one of us would be the dummy then? I don't know. But it, you know, when this came through in 2005, we tried to rescue as many as we could of people who were perfectly fine, and some of them were perfectly fine anyway. But we're not going to get much. I think it's important to recognize the power of the man with the red veto pen down the hallway. And I'm sad about that. And I've been I've minced none of my words the whole time on this topic about this. But if we rescue some here, some alcohol counselors, and chip away, there's something about corrections. Did we do that one yet? And then there's this thing here about this, that you can't just consider an arrest record, a police report, or a criminal complaint. And there's some talk this could even be considered on a reconsideration. And so if a person thought they were considered only on one of those claims, short of admitting they did the deed in some bona fide way, this might actually help somebody who needed to be reconsidered. Because the bar is based upon the charge that they thought there was a preponderance and a record for. So if there was a charge made that was a bad charge, and they plead to a less bad charge, and they're guilty of that, the disqualification is based upon the greater charge that there was a preponderance of evidence. And the preponderance is based upon the arrest record showed a preponderance. But this would say they have to have two sources of information, not just one, apparently. That would be arrest record, a police report, or a criminal complaint, at least more than one thing. And in the world of parsing these rescue operations, we're down to, I think, the equivalent of putting a lion down and getting one guy and one woman. So if we do nothing else, this is acceptable to the department.
And I just add, Madam Chair, if I could, and members, that first of all, as I stated, I can concur with what Representative Abler said. As a prosecutor, I do see these things come across my desk from time to time. I understand and I know how prosecutors charge. And I think it is a travesty that some people are kept from gainful employment because of a misuse of those kinds of charging decisions which affect their employment opportunities. Furthermore, many of these decisions, as many people know, were made in the wake of the Drew Shedin case with the current governor, who apparently drank the purple Kool-Aid of tough on old crimes. And I think the most we can get is a piecemeal approach this year. Perhaps we'll just have to wait till he checks out or we get another veto-proof majority in order to correct past mistakes in this department. So I would concur with Representative Abel.
You know about this amendment?
Well, Madam Chair, members, all I see is identical language in the House and the Senate. And I guess I think that I don't, I guess I understand your desire to be a little bit maybe proactive, but my inclination is that there would have to
to be some pretty compelling reason, other than the waving of the red pen, for us to give up both the Senate and House position with identical language. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that.
Can I, Madam Chair, if I could?
Representative Lesch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Mua, the compelling reason, I think, is that we do have an agreement now where perhaps when these issues came through both bodies, we didn't have. I think it's a palatable agreement that doesn't actually go too far. And the major stumbling block here in this area, I think, is not lack of agreement from House and Senate, but threats from the governor. And if we can, I think, pass this, it'll pass that test and we'll be okay.
Well, Senator Moore?
Well, Madam Chair, this is my language, and I have not been part of any agreement with the governor's office. So I guess if the administration is here, I'd like them on the record to say that this is sufficient to bypass the so-called red pen threat, if that is indeed the case.
Mr. Kerber?
Madam Chair and members, I'm Jerry Kerber. I'm the director of the Licensing Division. And I think there are two provisions which would be acceptable to the governor's office. One is that which is in the A-5 amendment.
The A-8. Remember, the A-8 amendment is Senator Berglund's language.
Correct, yeah. Excuse me. That extends an opportunity for a second review or a subsequent review for some people who had a set aside in the past, provided they're affiliated with a corrections program. That, and then another, just something that's written on a piece of paper that I just shared with Representative Moore.
Madam Chair,
Ms. Kerber, could you just give us, for the record, your title? So that all the members know which office you're representing.
Mr. Kerber.
Okay, my name is Jerry Kerber again, and I'm the director of the licensing division within the Department of Human Services. And we are the agency and the division that's charged with doing the majority of the background study work under Chapter 3.5C that's the subject of these amendments.
Just to get some clarification for members, Ms. White, what bill number after that is going to follow that?
Yes, this is a separate bill. Madam Chair, members, this provision was a separate bill, and it was added to Senate File 3168 when there wasn't a House companion.
Is everyone clear? This is the amendment that's in front of you that's in many different places at this point. Madam Representative Abler.
And I didn't mean to whip that. I actually used that pen. Happen to have one in my pocket. I'm not part of the Flash the Pen Club that Dr. Lesch could testify to. I just want to get stuff done. But maybe Mr. Kerber could comment on the lack of support for the language in the bill by the administration that you listed who would take this one. Like the language in the bill, how would that go if it was sent down for approval?
Madam Chair and Representative Abler, the governor's office has made it very clear to us not in support of those provisions addressing the background study and the set-aside language. And I believe that there was a letter from the governor to the chairs and the members that was available at the last committee meeting.
Senator Moore.
Madam Chair, Mr. Kerber, they will accept this language?
The one you gave me, the three.
Yeah, Madam Chair and Senator Moore, yes. The language that you have is one language that we worked on a couple of weeks ago as a proposal to deal with the possibility of keeping in the standard for preponderance of evidence, but making it more clear that there was a burden on the department to review more than one simple bit of evidence that we have in determining that.
This isn't talking.
It requires that we could not rely on solely on one record.
And Madam Chair, let me just comment on the whole big picture. If it was 2005, at the time, I remember sitting through committees and hearing we looked at all the people that had been set aside and had reoffended in our hearings, if you remember. And there were 14,000 some odd, I forgot the number, Mr. Kerber, but it was 14,000 something, people who had done a bad thing at some point and had they were disqualified. And upon review, when they reconsidered whether they could work or not, 14,000 of these people were set aside, their disqualifications. They continued to work in a nursing home or as a plumber or groundskeeper or whatever they were going to do with this job. And of those people, five reoffended out of the 14,000. And of the five, like one person took $20, which wasn't his crime. And one person reoffended in the area of their crime, of their set-aside. One out of 14,000. I would assert to you, the people who like the way we got so tough, that we went a little too far. And we believe in remediation and rehabilitation in Minnesota. And I would predict that if you had five people, well, Mr. Kerber would know, out of 14,000, I would expect at least more than five would do something bad. Just on random population. Do you know what the numbers are about people who are miscreants?
I'm sure, Representative Abel, we haven't figured out that number, only because we don't know at any given time how many people are actually working on this.
Yeah.
So we don't really know, out of all the people that are out there, what's the likelihood of any single person committing a crime?
But in a town of 14,000, there's certainly five people who commit some crime. It's not a good crime. Okay. Anyway, that's the
Madam Chair, I'd like to return to Senator Mwah's point, though. If this isn't language that passed either body and it's not a drafting error, we shouldn't be dealing with it in the conference committee report.
Representative Lesh? I disagree. I think we can do what we want as long as we bring it back and it's the will of both bodies that they'll pass it. And it's obviously been done before. And the major issue when that has happened in the past is that a provision has been inserted that was completely outside of the scope of what we're doing here. This issue that's been talked about since 2005 rather heavily, but prior to that, Representative Abler has been involved with it prior to 2005, has been debated heavily in both bodies, and I think it's been generally made clear that it's the will of both bodies in the committees, including the committee on which Senator Mwah sits on, and I know Senator Mwah and myself both have many, many constituents who are out of work based upon these provisions, that it's something that both bodies can agree on. So I don't think it's one of those things that comes back to the objection of either one of our bodies, perhaps with a small minority, and I'm not talking about a partisan minority because this is one of those issues that crosses party lines, but I think we're going to be okay here, and I think we should keep it in. It's going to be good for all the people in Minnesota, all constituents.
Senator Flores.
Chair, I am going to agree with the senators. I believe that we have worked on this extensively. The department was aware of this language. I consulted with staff, and I consulted outside of the legislature to figure out if this language was appropriate, and it was the language that was agreed upon in both houses. And I would like to move that we support the language that is in place right now.
I'm really surprised at the senators I see across from me. You're well aware of how hard we've been trying to work on this. I don't think it's something that's going to be outside the scope and inappropriate by any means, as is considered in the conference committee process. If we don't have agreement, we don't have agreement, but I'd certainly like the opportunity to talk with you more, perhaps before we worked on this. I don't know, Madam Chair, how much longer do we intend to go before we wrap this up? If this is the only...
Senator Torres-Ray or one of the other senators, how long are you guys going in session tonight?
There are four bills in general order. Six bills in general order.
Any human service?
You know, this is a language, Representative Lesh. I want to say, you know, this is language that we... You said you're surprised that this is language that we agreed on, and I think we need to figure out, you know, we need to move it. Both houses work on it, and this is the language that all your, you know, members who worked on this agreed to, and that's the language we worked on is identical language. We don't have a problem in either house, and I think we should move it. I think, you know, this is our language, and let's see what happens.
Madam Chair. Thank you, just briefly, and thank you, Senator Torres-Ray. I guess I had assumed that even though the current language was what people had looked at and considered and understood, I had assumed that people were aware of the gravity of this situation for many constituents who are trying to find work, and assumed that it would be agreeable along those lines, because this is an issue that's been well hashed out time and time again. If that's not the case, that's why I would like the opportunity to maybe have that conversation, because I know I've been in conference committees before. I'm more focused on certain areas than other areas. Representative Adler and I worked on this extensively last year in order to, in his terminology, rescue some people who were unjustifiably denied work or unreasonably denied work. But I think even many in the administration, when certain situations were looked at, were saying, yeah, that person probably shouldn't have been unjustifiably denied, but they were. It's a broad approach that we're trying to mitigate here, but I'd like the opportunity to maybe talk to you more about it before we just pro forma cancel the opportunity for these citizens.
Representative Adler.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And you know, this is sometimes in a conference committee, even when language is identical, that's not agreeable to the administration, you push the administration a bit, and then they come back with an alternative that's comparable, or at least in the same vein. And I respect the Senate's interest in having language that has been passed someplace, but to me, this is like the low end of comparable language. It's a backing off of what we all want that we're not going to get. Should we be successful, and you be successful in your motion to put it on the bill, this bill would go forward, and you have no bill. That's just the reality. And the other good provisions in the bill that we're spending the time on here would go for naught. Or should nothing come of it, then we have to start all over again. And so I would suggest that, you know, that you make your motion to adopt the language. Suggest the House abstain, because we respect the language. We want the language. We just know we're not going to get it, and I think you all kind of know that too. And then if you're willing, since there's no real rush, we still have some time, and deadlines are established that are, you know, just deadlines. But we are conferees in a bona fide conference committee working on an important topic, and perhaps you take the language back to your colleagues in the Senate and see if they agree that this would be better than nothing. And talk to Senator Berglund and see if she finds that companion to these two things moves the ball. And that's my suggestion.
Senator Moore.
Well, Madam Chair, I have read through this bill, and there are a number of department provisions in this bill, Mr. Kerber, that are very important to the department. And so instead of the burden being put to us, the House and the Senate, who feels very strongly about these provisions, that's why the Senate and the House have identical language. Maybe the burden of the question ought to be put to the executive branch. To what degree are they willing to sacrifice the provisions? Because for some political reason, they haven't come up with a good rationale for why they don't want us to do anything about the enormous burden of these collateral sanctions that we've imposed on Minnesotans. Because it isn't just in this bill, members of the conference committee. In the public safety bill, all the collateral sanctions, you know, opportunities that we're trying to create in that bill has also been met with threats. I mean, every avenue and every opportunity we've identified to try to mitigate these terrible collateral sanctions that we've imposed on citizens who continue to pay for a crime that we supposedly have already given them the benefit. They continue to pay forever and ever and ever. And so in a number of different places, we've tried to mitigate that, to acknowledge the fact that we have done some things that have been unfair to people. And yet at every front, in every single omnibus bills that we've had, the administration, the executive branch weighs in and says, we're going to do away with the entire bill because of this one provision. In this one bill, the governor's agency has a lot of very important things that they need. And I can't imagine the executive branch endangering those provisions because they have some kind of political issues with a provision that the legislature has decided that is good for Minnesotans. I just don't see that.
Can I clarify, Madam Chair, Senator Moore, you're saying that you're concerned that this goes in, that the entire bill goes down based on that provision? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not concerned about that. I think that the governor, you know, has raised some concerns. We've tried to work with his office. But I can't imagine that just because for some political reason he has concerns about a couple of provisions in here, that he would sacrifice very critical provisions that are important to the agency that are in this bill.
How about I play chair for a moment and let us recess. I'm going to say recess. And Representative Lesh and Representative Abler to have a conversation with Senator Moore or even one of the other senators that want to be involved in this, because I think we're at an impasse, because we do need two House members to adopt the language, or we don't adopt anything. I mean, we're at a complete impasse, and so I don't think we're going to go anywhere, because we have fully informed about how both sides feel about this moving forward, and so we will recess until the call of the chair.
We can go to my office if you want. Yes, Madam Chair, I would like to move the language that we have in place right now for Article, Section 5, Article 2. I would like to move, I would like us to move identical language of Article 2 in all the sections, Sections 1, 2, 3, and 4. And 6, 7, 8, and 9. And 10 for now.
Are there any comments by members?
What page is it? Or what the?
Side by
18.
Side,
18, 19,
and
20. Yeah. No, move to that. I'll get back to the one that has.
Okay.
No comments.
Yeah. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
It's adopted.
That's what we just talked about, right?
Okay.
That was all that
stuff. This is all that is identical for now. And, Madam Chair, I would like us to hear the staff's recommendation on Section 5, which is the only section of Article 2 that does not have identical language. There are some technical differences, and I'd like to ask the staff for.
Madam Chair, Senate Section 5 and House Section 7, there's just very technical differences in the drafting. The staff recommends the Senate on the technical changes. But then in addition to that, there's kind of a major difference in which on this next page, page 19, the House adds an additional paragraph D, which permits a set aside for under certain circumstances.
Madam Chair, I would like to move that we move the language that has only technical differences, and then we can talk about the substantive differences, the second part. If we could move all the language in Section 5 that has only technical differences, and then we look at the provision that is different in the House and the Senate and have a conversation about what language is... language that we can move, that we can agree to as a committee.
Representative Adrian.
Thank you. My no votes are not for lack of belief in the content, just as a matter of process. So. Thank you.
Everything on record, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
So, Madam Chair, I would like us to have a conversation about the differences between House and Senate and see if we can come to an agreement as to what language would be the one that we could submit for recommendation.
What spot, Madam Chair?
On page 19.
Yeah, I see that.
If you could expand on that for us, that'd be great. If you could explain, kind of explain the House, the difference.
I will.
Well, here's
okay. I will.
Sure.
This is actually the particular, is it individual, and unfortunately it's spelled out as an individual. This is an individual from northern Minnesota who was 17, who was on a bike with a BB gun and went by a parked car with no one in it and shot at the car. And the judge at the time decided to throw the book at him and sent him to one of the correctional facilities, and since then has turned himself around, has not committed any other crimes, has gone on to college, and now was looking at going back to work at that same correctional boys camp. And the department, he actually was getting as an intern and had been offered a job by the facility, and the department says because of his conviction at 17, he was not able to do that, even as an intern. And this happened in Hibbing, Minnesota.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know.
Senator
Moore. Well, Madam Chair, I'm not hostile to the provision. We don't have it in the Senate, but I mean, if the House feels like this is a provision the House would like to ask for, I'm not hostile to it. I'm not opposed to it.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate that comment, Senator Moore. Both Representative Abler and I have been active in attempting to get these narrowly tailored set-asides crafted for situations where we can tell that this particular chapter of Minnesota law just overreaches, which is, I think, what we're having to deal with here, and having to solve individual problems on a statewide law basis. So thank you for that. And yes, I think it is one of those situations that anyone generally agrees it's good for the state of Minnesota. This individual is participating in helping out the citizens of his communities.
So I would like to move that we adopt the House language for the second provision of Section 5.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? No.
Madam Chair, is that the end of that whole section?
Ms. White, do we have anything else that is unresolved?
On that topic,
it's yes. You believe
it is right. It safe to say that all those recommendations are consistent with the report that was put out?
Representative Adler, everyone outside of the last provision that we adopted is very consistent to the 2007 report. Actually, we don't go as far as the report. The report goes much further.
Thank you.
Kind of
I got a copy of that. I'll need it for the floor.
You know what? I will give you a copy
Thank you.
Of it. I'm not sure who dropped it off to me, but I love it.
Maybe some discussion.
Ms. White, as it relates to the articles in front of us, are we completed?
Yes.
Has there been any resolve with Representative Tingleton?
She's not
doing it. Then, members, are there any other questions or comments by individuals? Yes, Senator
Torres. Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you to the committee members. I know that this particular provision of Article 2 obviously we have to wait for answers and find out what happens, but I want to make sure that for me, as the author of this bill, I really want to respect the process that we engaged in both houses. A lot of members, both in the Senate and the House, work very hard to get to this place, and my interest is to move forward the language that that we had, and it was, you know, language that both houses adopted. So we'll see what happens now, and I'm confident that if we send it now, we'll see what the response is. So thank you for working on this. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah.
Thank you, Senator Torres. Actually, I'll just take a moment. Hearing actually I'm not quite sure how I ended there last year. It's one of those things that, regardless of how, what happens with this particular bill with the governor, it's one that even if this, all the provisions pass this year, it's not going to go away. It's a lot of work that's going to have to be dealt with in the upcoming year. We have a lot of individuals that aren't working because of past crimes from 27 years ago, unfortunately, from some of the legislation that passed in 2005. Realizing that I've made it very clear I have three department bills and I've just been a vehicle. I seem to be retiring. You know, whoever can get something on and can pass, so be it. But we'll see where things go from here. Senator Moore.
Madam Chair, I just want to put on the record that for all intents and purposes, one of the reasons why I have fight so hard to keep the identical language, particularly on the licensing provision, is that the majority of the licensing provisions that we did adopt with the conference committee report reaffirms what we've already done in the House. My bill, Senate File 3350, passed the Senate chamber by a 64-3 vote as a standalone bill.
And so that's not an iffy or marginal vote.
I mean, it's a mandate to me coming to this conference committee that that's a pretty high level of support in the Senate for that language. And I appreciate the members of this committee keeping faith with that strong vote.
Senator Moore, with that note, one of the things that the governor has said, because we had less votes voting on the bill moving out of the House, if it wasn't an election year and we had four-year terms, the vote would have been vastly different. With that being said, members.
Do you want to throw on this other amendment of the Senator Berglund deal while we're at it? And is there any point in that?
I think she moved it on the Senate File 3168.
Yes.
Any point in doing this other one?
Now.
How about this one, this arrest business? You don't want to do
that. I think that is null after
that.
What has been adopted.
Okay.
Any other, I see no other comments. We'll move Senate File 3166 as amended to be adopted. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
You're just circling. Do we have to? We don't need to.